Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Samach Vav, Baba Metzia 66a, pagination is 131. We'll start from the facing page, four lines up from the bottom. Hahu Gavra, there was a person, Dezoven Le'ara Lechavrei. He was selling a property to his fellow, Shaloba Achrayis, without insurance, so to speak, without guarantees. Meaning that if someone would have a lien on it, this seller was not taking the responsibility. He was saying that just like I would have been vulnerable to that person, so you're vulnerable to that person. You're just buying it as is with no endorsement, no guarantee. He saw that the person was sad. There was something troubling him about the sale. Omale amai atzivas. Why should you be sad? Itarfula, if they grab it away from you, itarfula minach, if they grab it away from you, magvino lach shufra shivcha upiri. I will allow you to collect from me the best of what you improved the land and the produce that you were supposed to get from the land based on our transaction that they are going to take away from you. You could come to me for reimbursement. That's what the seller responded. Amar Amemar, Amemar ruled, Pitume mili ba'almahu. These are words of flattery, of good-natured comments to make him feel good. But they are not binding. And we'll have to explore this concept, but what we're getting right now is that these comments that you'll be able to retrieve your loss from me were not made as a condition. And therefore, it's not binding as a condition, and he would not have to do what he said he would do, at least not in a truly legal sense. Now, we did encounter cases where a person did not make a formal condition, and nevertheless, the understood condition is binding. We had, for example, a case where a person was selling his assets, his property, because everybody knew he was trying to make aliyah, he was trying to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it turned out that it didn't work, and there is a case where he'd be able to retrieve his property and provide a refund because it was understood to everybody that it was like a condition. Tesvis on the top of Samach Vav Amar Aleph, the first of the smaller lines, tells us that the difference here is Bitchilas Hadvarim Pasach HaMocher. If initially the seller would have stated these types of things, then indeed we would have assumed Bevade Lo Niskaven LeLokcho Elo BaAchrayis. Then we would have been able to establish that the person is only buying it based on the terms that were articulated. And whether it's achrayis or it's sha'ar tanoim, some other conditions, those conditions would have been supported. But the presentation over here was such that the person, as an afterthought to make him feel good, threw in some nice words, and those nice words are not ultimately binding for Beis Din to be able to step in and enforce. Again, we're avoiding the topic whether he's morally, ethically, whether it's proper for him, but it's not a legally binding statement. We do have the question that we paskin achrayis ta'u sofarhu, that if it's not written in the document that he's taking responsibility, like title insurance, then we assume that they simply forgot to put it in. But of course there's title insurance. Of course he's guaranteeing the property and will refund the money if it gets stolen, not stolen, but taken away by a previous owner because of a lien or whatever. And our case, Rashi says, must be that we have written in the document that he's not taking achrayus, or of course we're going like the other opinion, which holds that if it's missing from the document, then it is not binding. But again, the way we paskin, even if it's missing in the document, he's still going to be taking achrayus. That's an understood factor in sales, unless he specifically writes, and I'm not taking achrayus. And therefore, going back to our Gemara, either we're following the opinion that achrayus is not ta'o sofer, and if it's not in the document, he doesn't take achrayus, and that's why he's trying to throw it in as an addendum with his flattery words, or we're following the opinion of achrayus ta'o sofer, and even if it's missing from the document, you are taking achrayus, but this is a case where he specifically wrote in the document that he's not taking achrayus. Either way, Tosfos words, l'sha'ar tanoim, it would apply for other conditions. If there's a condition that's not included in the sale the way it is, but he does this addendum of flattery verbally when he sees the person is in need of a good word, our Gemara is saying that there's such a thing as flattery and it is not necessarily binding. Big lesson, you hear those words in a transaction, you feel good about it, you should say, let's put it in writing. Let's skip down to a quarter of the way down on the page. At the end of a line, there's a two dots, and we have a similar story. Hahi shechiv meira, there was a sick person, he's dying, dekasav lo gita ledivisu, and he wrote a get to his wife. Now, the common reason to write a get to the wife, if he's in the process of dying, is because they didn't have children, and he does have a brother, and she is going to fall to yibum situation if he dies without children and there is a brother. In order to avoid the yibum situation, he's going to preempt it with a get and divorce his wife on his deathbed. This would be if they don't want to be beholden to the brother. Maybe the brother is overseas. Maybe he's not observant. Whatever it is, he's going to preempt it with a get. Now, there are, of course, downsides to doing such a thing. One, which may not be so relevant or pressured of a reason, but one reason is that a woman who falls from a marriage as a widow is going to be permitted to a kohen. And if there's a yibum situation, perhaps she wants to wait it out, and when that brother dies, she'll be permitted to a kohen. If there's a get, or of course chalitza as well, she's going to be forbidden to a kohen. But that's not the big reason that's pressuring over here. The big reason, the downside that's pressuring over here, is that the man is still alive. And presumably, in accordance with Jewish perspective, he's still praying for a complete recovery. He's in a situation where he's divorcing his wife. He's now going to be single. And so the Gemara tells us, Ingid v'isnach. He gave a groan of affliction at the time that he gave the get. His wife realized what was troubling him. Omrale, she said to him, Amaika misanches, why are you making this groan? Ikaimis, if you do recover, didochano, I'm dedicated to you, and you can always marry me again. The question, of course, is that she made this comment, and let's say he gets better now, is she bound to remarry him or not? Is it considered a condition in the get, and therefore he got better, and she said, I'm dedicated to you. Either somehow the get is batal because he got better, or perhaps there's a condition in the get that she has to agree to get remarried to him. Somehow, do we have to play with her words? Amar Rav Zvid said, Petume mile be'almahu, these are just words that she said to make him feel good, and they are not binding. Once again, we have this question, isn't it a gilui das? Isn't it a revelation that he's only doing this act of get on condition that if he gets better, he can somehow have her back? And however that would play out in a Tanai in get, but the answer is no. Because he went into this giving a get. And this condition, if it is a condition, was simply added on as an afterthought to make him feel good, and that was not the presentation of a condition. So we do have to be careful. Firstly, conditions are supposed to be according to specific style. What happens if yes? What happens if no? But even if we work with the Gilui Das approach, it has to be abundantly clear to all of those involved that this is the reason, this is the condition by which he's doing what he's doing. And other than that, he's doing it without any condition. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.